Have other people, have people here heard of Project Lazarus before? A few people? Okay, great. So if there's like additional questions that I'm not covering, or if you're bored of the presentation, please feel free to heckle and ask me hard questions. These are our partners and some of our funders. We have two of our funders in the room, so we thank them. And CDC and Robert Wood Johnson Foundation in the last week or two have also joined our list of partners, so we're happy to have them. We didn't get a chance to update the slide. So Project Lazarus, the focus really is on prescription opioid analgesic overdose. So we're talking about drugs like Vicodin, Percocet, OxyContin, methadone, things like that, that are primarily used for the treatment of pain in the United States. There are kind of three major types of things that we do. We tend to be a very data-oriented organization. We have a lot of dorks on staff, and gives us access to having really good numbers. Me being one of them, so I say it with pride. So I'll talk to you about some of the data that we have available to us, and you have a lot of other states have these data available. What we do, I think, a little bit differently is take these super complex and enormous data sets and bring the data down to a community, like a county level, and provide each county with a snapshot of what's going on in their county and train them on how to use the data system. So I'll show you some of those. The left half, I'm sorry for the folks over here, but basically one half of the kind of intervention component on the bottom is done by a community-based organization called Project Lazarus, and the other side is done by North Carolina's Medicaid program called Community Care of North Carolina, which is more of the medical education piece of it. So I'll talk through these first with some data. I hope you guys appreciate these. So here's the state of North Carolina. Notice I'm going to show you three maps of overdose rates in the state over the last decade. The color key stays the same. Okay, so that's the first about a decade ago. Then we saw it spreading largely from the western Appalachian, more rural part of the state to the rest of the state. And in more recent years, the overdose death rate in North Carolina has kind of evened out, unfortunately, at a pretty high level. And you see this happen in other states all over the country. So here are some of the data that we do have. We know that most of the deaths are occurring involving prescription opiates like the ones I mentioned before. Heroin and cocaine, which you see in the blue, has been decreasing since a peak in the mid-2000s. And the 2011 data are just in, and we expected to see a little bit of an uptick, but it's not there. But the overall overdose rate does continue to go up statewide. This is probably a little hard to make out from over there, from out back, but these are 2010 data, and the orange circles represent how much of the painkillers are being dispensed. The intensity of the green, or the darkness of the green, represents what the overdose death rates are, so from these analgesics. So what you see is that there's a fair correlation, especially in the western parts of the state, where counties that have more prescribing have more overdose deaths, but there are counties in the east and along the northern border with Virginia that don't fit that pattern. So one of the things we need to understand is not to just say that reducing the amount prescribed is going to result in fewer deaths, because there are places that already have low prescribing and have high deaths. So our job really is to go community by community and understand what are the unique factors in each community that contribute to this phenomenon. Okay. So our prescription monitoring program, which is an electronic database of all controlled substance prescriptions in the state that clinicians can use can query to see whether patients are getting prescriptions from multiple providers. We use the data from that, and it's an incredibly difficult data source to work with. Like, the file is 200 gigabytes in itself, and it's a huge mess, but we do wrangle it to something that looks like it makes sense. The county I'll be talking about is Wilkes County. I'll show you some data, and that's on the upper end of the spectrum here. There are the city, the places on the bigness, the diameter of the circles, really, are shows the population in different counties, and the ones that are the bigger circles are your cities like Charlotte, Wake Forest, Winston-Salem, and other places. So basically what this says is that the cities may have lower rates of opioid prescribing, which may suggest there's actually a problem with access to care. And we've seen minorities and other groups not being able to get adequate care for analgesia. So part of what we do is also work to make sure that there's adequate pain relief in communities, not just to lower the amount of prescribing. Doctor shopping had decreased steadily since our PMP was enacted in 2008 or became operational. We've had a slight uptick in the last year. So we do use data like this, and we can break these data down by county and provide. So what I'm showing you is basically like a set of slides and reports that we would give to each county to do what they wanted to kind of do with and raise awareness with their health departments and coalitions. We also do additional surveys, where this one was a survey of health directors to kind of understand what is being done throughout the state in terms of fighting this problem. Pill take-back days were the number one popular thing to do, but the fact that pill take-back days have on actual mortality, I think, is pretty tenuous. So a lot of attention has been focused on pill take-back days, fixed disposal sites, kind of fitting in with the supply-side mentality that a lot of places start with. But the more important interventions, I think, are less frequently and less consistently applied. And so we can go into communities with data like this to know where to start where we need to improve their capabilities. Another thing we try to do is to understand kind of what the community climate is, and this is a NIDA scale. These are health directors, and I think the important one is that across the state, there's clear recognition that there's a problem, but detailed information on the nature of the problem is lacking, and people have talked about doing something about it, but no one's taken charge. So these are like the two specific things that we try to work and get communities up to speed on. We skip that. Okay, so on to the intervention. What does it look like? So I'll do the community piece first. Community awareness, coalition development, diversion control, and patient support. So a lot of coalition development is doing community forums, getting people to talk about the problem, informing them that there is a solution. Usually this takes a couple of community awareness forum and then a few stakeholder meetings, and there's kind of a way we do this. There's a lot of community education. Like, we have a curriculum for schools that's specifically geared to kids, where we're not talking about drug abuse or getting high. We're talking about don't share your, at a young age, like, don't share your meds, period, whether it's an inhaler or a tablet. So starting with messaging like that, that doesn't necessarily have to be just say no and dare and kind of repeating things that have been done in the past. So we try to take a kind of a more holistic approach to it. Supporting pain patients, there's little things that you can do. Like, this is Diane, and she takes a steroid for some of her body pain, and she bruises very easily when she bumps into things, and it's a known side effect of these medications. And so putting like little foam corners on her coffee table saves her trips to the ED for being in pain. So, we're obviously not in every single person's home, but the idea is that there are little things we can do to get people's pain more adequately managed, and having community groups involved and figuring out what those are and on a local level is incredibly important. We do pill take-back days and fixed disposal sites. Those are kind of happening all over the place, and so won't go into that. On the medical side, so a lot of this is being done by North Carolina Medicaid system, but it applies to other populations in the state as well. One thing is we have these toolkits for chronic pain for the emergency department. We have emergency department case management in some of our counties where there are a lot of repeat visitors to the EDs, but it kind of depends on local resources. These toolkits kind of talk through like what you do in primary care for chronic pain. And I know there are a ton of these guidelines out there for treating pain, but what we found was instead of having the providers adopt something that already exists by doing this as a project to create their own toolkit is what really kind of brought the community and the coalitions together. So we try to encourage a simplified toolkit making process so that communities have ownership of what they're doing. We do kind of education on different types of just general medication safety thing. On the left, this picture got with a coupon to Biscoville. Got stapled to, we're good public health people. It's only for a drink, you know, it's not for the bacon sandwich. But we stapled this coupon with this flyer to every prescription that went out in the county during 2 weeks every year. So to kind of reinforce the message to make talking about overdose a little bit more normative. One of the more innovative pieces of this has been naloxone, which I suspect some of you here are familiar with. It's basically the antidote for an opiate or opioid overdose. What we do is train drug users and pain patients how to recognize the signs and symptoms of an overdose and administer the naloxone themselves. I think, is it okay to say it, Daniel? Okay, don't want to steal your thunder, but APHA actually just half an hour ago adopted a resolution endorsing naloxone and overdose provision, thanks to Daniel Raymond's hard work. So that's awesome. One of the ways that naloxone has been used is to try to get people into treatment. So this is a blog post from a local doctor, and she had a patient who had received a naloxone kit through Project Lazarus. She experienced an overdose, was revived, and ended up coming into treatment as well, and her brother did as well. So it was this brother and sister couple who were not otherwise engaged with the treatment community, but through the naloxone ended up in drug treatment. And drug treatment in general is probably the most powerful thing that we do. We promote evidence-based drug treatment options, mostly methadone, buprenorphine. If you can imagine a rural southern, trying to get methadone clinics in a rural southern little town is not easy. And there is outright hostility towards it, but through the community presentations, that's one of the things we hammer from the very beginning, and we've had pretty good uptake of buprenorphine. I mean, sometimes we're walking commercial, for-profit treatment centers into local community meetings and helping them get set up. And it makes for a lot of strange bedfellows, but it's what's needed to get more drug treatment into local rural areas. And for that, BUP, I think, is an awesome thing that has helped us a lot. The pilot data I'll show you, and these data are also, we're also getting more data from other parts of the state that we just don't have quite collated yet. But Wilkes County had the third highest drug overdose death rate in the country in 2007, according to CDC. And it's in the Appalachian foothills, this yellow kind of blob up there, pretty large county, about 68,000 population, a lot of poverty. The biggest employer in town is Tyson's Chicken Processing Plant, but it does kind of look idyllic otherwise. But there's a lot of problems. So these are our results. After we started in 2008, the overdose death rate dropped about 70%. And they've stayed low throughout this calendar year so far. And you can see we're still a little bit higher than national and state averages. So I think we've done a good job, but there's more work to be done to keep this down and to get it to go down lower and to stay down. In terms of how much opioid prescribing there has been, we've seen a slight decrease in the amount of opioids being prescribed. But we're still higher than the state average. So we don't think that we've created an access to care problem, but we do see our rates going down a little bit, whereas the rest of the state is going up. I think the most interesting metric, though, is if you look at the people who died from a prescription drug overdose and you pull their prescription histories for the last 6 months, when we started, about 80% of the folks who died of a prescription drug overdose had a prescription from a provider in our county. the last year, or last year of data, 2011, not a single person who died of a prescription drug overdose received their medication from a doctor in our county who had been part of our intervention. So we see them getting the pills from other healthcare providers and counties around, which is why we have been expanding the program statewide, county by county, with the help of Medicaid, North Carolina's Medicaid. The U.S. Drug Czar, Gil Kerlikowske, paid us a nice visit at the end of the summer, and said some nice things about us. So, this is to say that using naloxone has been kind of a difficult sell often, but it's starting to come into more of the mainstream, and we're proud to be one of the groups doing it. And we have there's a lot of great resources and partners out there. Here's our website. Another website I should have put on here is called prescribetoprevent.org, which gives you kind of a one-page guide to starting your own naloxone program. So happy to talk more about this, and we have a lot of other experts on this topic in the room as well. So thanks a lot.